Welcome to episode 3 of Ecology is Everywhere, the podcast about environmental education and the places it takes us. I'm your host, Philip Matthew. For this episode, I spoke with Andy Bishalia at the University of Georgia. Andy has worked for many years, often with her husband Wick, on a number of programs related to food systems education. This is the first episode that we've recorded remotely and the first since the COVID-19 pandemic reached the U.S. On the afternoon I called, Wick was on dad duty, but Andy was still able to speak with us. So I would love to start by just having you introduce yourself in maybe like 30-second version of what you do.
My name is Andy Bishalia, and I just started a new job a month ago as the campus kitchen coordinator for UGA. So Campus Kitchen used to be a national organization. It's now disbanded, but there's still a bunch of them around around the U.S., and they're based at different universities. And we reclaim food waste and turn it into meals for food insecure individuals in the community. And our program specifically serves mostly seniors in the community who are either raising grandchildren or otherwise experiencing food insecurity. So it kind of has like a dual environmental piece to it of reclaiming food waste. So we collect from Trader Joe's, our Athens area farmers market, and our campus farm. And then we cook with it. And it's all student run by university students. And then we deliver it out to 53 different families in the community.
Wow. Very cool. So this is not your first thing related to food education, food systems education you've done. So tell me a little bit about sort of your story, how you ended up here.
Yeah. Grow It, Know It, Campus Kitchen, and U-Garden are three food-based programs run out of the University of Georgia. They're all kind of housed under the Office of Service Learning in a way. So the Office of Service Learning is taking college students and having them do service projects out in the community that are related to their class. And so I kind of work with all three of the programs now. So we have the Grow It, Know It is the school garden branch. U-Garden is the university farm where horticulture students and any student at UGA can take a hands-on agriculture class. And then Campus Kitchen is the other kind of branch of those programs. So I've been involved with all three with U-Garden and Grow It, Know It since 2015 when I started my master's program at UGA. And then now I work with all three programs.
Did you go straight into that master's program from the ecology school?
Mm-mm, no, I had Wick and I guess we're getting to be old timers. I'm only 32, but it was 10 years ago now that I was at the ecology school. So I was there in the spring of 2010 and fall of 20. How does that work? No, spring and fall of 2010. Yeah. In between the ecology school and graduate school, I worked at Broadterm Farm. And then Wick and I moved to Georgia. And when he started his master's program, and I worked at the Botanical Garden here in Athens, doing all their education programs. So very similar to stuff I did at the ecology school.
So now in your current position, what are like some of the ways that education comes out in the work you're doing, which might, you know, otherwise just seem like a lot of logistics and coordination?
Yeah, yeah. So one of the ways that education is still tied in is that UGA has a what they call an S designation on their classes, which is a service learning course, and every student is required to do one before they graduate. And so it's a way that professors have to tie in the community into their courses. And that can be done in a bunch of different ways, but it's very much related in my mind to the way that the ecology school operates, because it's taking like the theoretical concepts that you might be learning in a college level course and bringing it out into the real world, into the community. So, you know, it's all well and good to learn about food insecurity and theoretically what it is, but then students with Campus Kitchen get to cook meals and then deliver them to homes and visit with families of food insecure seniors and get to know them on a personal level and see, you know, the real world implications of what they're learning about.
So how many families are you working with?
It's 53 families, so it's about 160 individuals.
Wow. And is that on like a daily basis?
Normal operations. Things have changed a lot, but normally it's a once a week delivery. And we were able to do that this past week. We've had to switch our whole operation out to U Garden, actually, which was a great place to be. And so normally, like, a family would get, say, deliveries every Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. It's still what the families are still getting their meals once a week. So it's a grocery basket that's mostly made up of food that we reclaim from Trader Joe's. So Trader Joe's puts aside bags of bruised apples or bread that is still perfectly good, but the packaging might have a puncture in it. So bread, eggs, fruit, and then a bunch of random stuff. So that makes up the client's grocery baskets. And then with the food that we reclaim from U Garden and Trader Joe's and the farmer's market, we cook a meal. So they get a like a carry out pan of some sort of meal.
Awesome.
So that also goes out every week.
How have those programs evolved over your time at UGA?
Campus Kitchen has been around for 10 years, and it started with one professor and out of one of her classes. She was a women's studies professor named Dr. Hurley's. And now it's an organization that we hire. So it still is mostly volunteer, but now we hire 5 paid student interns. So it's like their campus job to help. So there's the program coordinator, that's me. We have an AmeriCorps Vista and 5 paid student interns. So it's turned into a much bigger operation. And then we have at any given point 50 shift leaders who are also student volunteers who are not paid, helping to run the cooking shift or a delivery shift or a pickup shift. And then they coordinate 3 to 4 volunteers that are helping them. So there's hundreds of students.
So once everything's back to normal, what are you excited for? What's happening new with your programs?
Yeah. So something that's happened in Athens is it's been happening for about a year or so. There's this group called Envision Athens, and they have a list of 6 different, I guess, action items in the community to help with food security and farmer access or access to fresh fruits and vegetables in the community. And so we, with Campus Kitchen Grow It Note, are partnering with this group to help work on those 6 action items. So one of them is to get a second farmer's market in a more food insecure neighborhood in Athens. One of them, see, I'm trying to remember. My mind is drawing a blank right now, but there's 6 different projects that we're helping work on to push forward and get more the food, fresh food and vegetable access more equitable across Athens.
Sure. So I guess relating back to the ecology school, what are some of your takeaways from your experience there?
No, I mean, it's super relevant, especially when I was working with school gardens and still am working with school gardens. We do a teacher training program through Grow It, Know It. That's like 1000% ecology school inspired. And I say that with full sincerity because we are working with teachers and schools to get them to reduce food waste and have lunchroom composting. And those are both modeled entirely off of what we learned from the ecology school. And then we still do some of the skits. We do Doc Rock with teachers and with our Vistas every year. We did it at a brewery not too long ago. We did it at Georgia Organics Farm to School Conference. It was one of their like lunch theaters was Doc Rock. So I think those ways of teaching are, they resonate for a reason because they're fun and they get the point across in a easy to remember way. And it's still like a really impactful experience that I had. And whenever I teach teachers how to incorporate school gardens into their classroom and use these different tools that I learned at the ecology school, they all light up. They have fun, as we all know, like when you're learning and having fun, it just hits a button with teachers, even teachers who've been classroom teachers for 20, 25 years. They are like, this is awesome. This is
you know, my kids are going to love this. And it's tried and true way of doing things. So
that's so cool. Would you give us a little short version of what the Doc Rock skit is and what it teaches?
It's an evil scientist and his or her henchman or woman, henchman, making soil, and they are trying to take over the world with their evil soil. And Igor, the henchman, is sent out to get four different ingredients, rocks, dead things, water, and fungi, and gets each of them wrong the first time in really funny ways. But then eventually they bring all the ingredients together and try to make soil, but they forget the most important ingredient, which is that it takes 100 years to make an inch of topsoil. And so the person who's buying their soil, their next door neighbor, comes back and the soil isn't ready because they didn't have enough time to make it. Just gives a fun way for students to remember what different things are in soil.
Are there any other like random little things from the ecology school that stick out?
Let me think. Banana vault. Still do banana vault. Since cafeteria composting is a big piece of our program, I definitely always show the banana vault and all the science songs. Science songs are still a tried and true part of what we do, especially when we get to work with elementary school kids. For the last few years, we've been in the middle schools, and we still do Doc Rock for them, but try to sing. Well, some of them like Compost Cake, but some of them look at you like, I'm not going to sing that. So when we get the chance to go in and do like first grader programs or fourth grade programs, the science songs definitely still make a big, big impact. And with our two-year-old son, we sing all those songs too. But yeah, no, we do keep up with our friend Laura, who was one of our classmates at the ecology school, and she actually married me and Wick.
So deeply rooted.
Yes. There was a big foam contingent at our wedding, which was a lot of fun.
Maybe on the theme of trying to pull out cool narratives, are there any like stories you can share from what you're currently do, or not necessarily from your work, but just moments that you like that reminded you of why environmental education and all its related fields are important?
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's being a parent. The way Wick and I are with Reese and getting lots of nature time and that sense of wonder with a 2-year-old is pretty incredible. And just kind of, you know, I've always done these programs with other kids and seen the excitement on their face. But selfishly, when you're a parent and do those things with your own child, then you see how excited they get for Reese calls roly-polies polies or snails out in the garden and all those fun things, salamanders, finding, doing the exploration with your own kid. And as he's getting older and able to express more and talk more, it's just a whole other level of fun and not only fun, but just like, I don't know, you just see that like deep connection that can happen with nature on a whole new level. So that's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. Thank you for doing an interview.
Sure.
And good luck managing everything in the rapidly changing world we're living in.
Same to you.
A big thank you to Andy Bishalia for being my guest this week, as well as for the awesome work you're doing down at the University of Georgia. Ecology is Everywhere is brought to you by the Ecology School, a nonprofit inspiring stewardship of and connection to the natural world through nature-based living lessons about ecology, conservation, farming, and sustainability. You can learn more and check out some of their resources for learning at home at theecologyschool.org. We will be back in 2 weeks with our next episode. In the meantime, I hope you stay safe and stay healthy. I'm your host and producer, Philip Matthew. Thanks for listening.
Her neighbor just got two ducks. Reese is going down for a nap, but you want to come by a little later? Okay.